Welcome back to another episode of Extra Features, a movie review podcast. This is episode 286, and it's a very special one. It's our chance to discuss the movies that we all enjoyed over the course of the year. This is based on what we have seen up until this point, so some of us have seen more than others. And during the course of our discussion, I have to warn you that we may in fact spoil movie points, plot points, conclusions, surprises, things like that. So we did a special drawing ahead of time, and Daniel got to pick the order of who presents. And we'll do the introductions first. I'm Kevin.
I'm John Carpenter.
I'm Daniel.
I'm Doug.
I'm Owen.
And the intern.
I thought it's John Carpenter and the Thing. I thought that's the theme. Of your picture.
The Thing was busy.
You're the Thing.
I am.
That's John Carpenter.
And Beauty and the Beast.
It's Beauty and the Beast, man.
The theme for tonight.
It is.
All right. So who drew First Blood?
Well, I think I did for some odd reason. I don't know how I drew First Blood, but I did. And since we said we're doing honorable mentions first, I hate honorable mentions, so I have none.
Fuck everyone else.
All right. So number 10.
Oh, I just go into it? Sweet. Yes. Okay. My number 10 is Zola, which is a film I don't think any of you guys saw. Kevin might have seen. I just love this film. Something different, something I think you guys should all see. Owen, you might need to ask your parents. Probably a little eyebrow for you. A little too much. A little light cheeks in this one. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, no.
A lot of peaches and a lot of other things. So. Zola, I like the acting. Ryan Kielo keeps impressing me. It's an actress as goes. The other woman, I can't remember her name. I don't really care. She was really good, too. So I like the storyline. It was something different, something I hadn't seen. I really enjoyed that it was based on a Twitter thread. So I thought that was kind of neat that they had to create something out of nothing. Really nothing. Like just words on a page that just two random people are talking. So I liked it. I thought there were some interesting things I learned about this. I really liked the characters. And I like the acting. So Zola's my number 10.
Coleman Domingo's in that, right?
Correct. He plays the pimp.
Okay.
Okay. A24 release, I'm pretty sure. Nice.
It is.
My honorable mentions are, I actually have some. Mine is, I have four. Nobody for Bob Odenkirk becoming an action star and Christopher Lloyd still kicking ass. Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar for Seagulls in the Sand. Can You Hear My Prayer? I knew that would piss you off, Simon. That's amazing. Ghostbusters Afterlife for McKenna Grace and just being a great sequel. And a film called Mass, which is Fran Kranz's directorial debut, which is just really, really great. And my number 10 is... All right, I usually have recency bias for my number 10. And I watched this yesterday, and my number 10 is Encanto. Just for the beautiful animation, great characters. I love the story. Impressive seeing Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine actually able to do that voice for Mirabelle. I love the story and the family coming together, and songs are great. I feel like even if I didn't see it yesterday, I would still be singing the songs.
Listen, Bruno, we don't talk about Bruno.
No. I really wanted to see it because that sound has just been all over TikTok, and it's like, all right, I need to know the joke now.
I'm next. My honorable mentions, I have 10, but I'll just pick a few. I would say Tick, Tick, Boom, Spider-Man No Way Home, Candyman, I'm repping the Candyman shirt, Pig, and Titane, I think were all very good, close to making my top 10. My number 10 is Green Knight, starring Dev Patel, who I've heard batted around as possibly the next James Bond, and I'm all for it. You got to be young and you got to be British. That's all I think you need to be James Bond at this point.
Hold on. Can we get Owen to do like a British voice? So maybe we could not.
No, you can't, actually. No.
Oh, okay, you're out.
But anyway, I did love Green Knight. It's a beautiful film, story of a knight, and told in different stories. Wonderful film.
Nice. And to be James Bond, you also have to be fresh for the fresh for the fight, right?
Yes. All right. I had a few sort of bubbling below the surface of number 10. Mitchell's versus the Machines, the Nobody boss level was a movie I thought was fantastic. Surprised me a lot. Quiet Place Part 2, The Suicide Squad, and Pig. And I did not include any documentaries, but I thought a special note should be made of The Velvet Underground, which was a really great musical doc, and Get Back, The Beatles, which is more of a historical record than a documentary, I think. So my number 10, Daniel, you and I agree, it's Encanto. I enjoyed it immensely. The songs were fun. It was tough. It was either Encanto or Mitchell's versus the Machines as my number 10, and I was going to go with an animated film. But Encanto, I think, just won out. It had a little bit more heart, and I enjoyed the story more. The songs were fun. Animation was flawless. So that's my number 10.
I had the same thought process.
Yeah.
I was going to make 10 a tie at first.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, so my turn now. And my honorable mentions, I only have two. I have Encanto and The French Dispatch. I enjoyed both films, but they just weren't quite top 10 for me. But my number 10 is Nobody. Because, I mean, I love Bob Odenkirk. I loved him from Mr. Show, Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad. And seeing him as an action star just kicking ass, but also getting his ass kicked was really fun. I just loved the entire movie. It was also the first movie I saw in theaters since quarantine. So that was like a fun experience. And I really think it's sort of that, I think, really helped cement its spot on the list because of just the experience was not overwhelming, but like very positively influencing, if that makes sense.
You guys rented out the theater for that one, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
we
that
did.
Was lucky. Yeah. Good. That was cool.
Nice. Yeah. That's a good pick.
Oh, me next? Okay, I've got more than that, but I'm only going with five honorable mentions.
Coda. Oh, how many do you have?
It doesn't matter.
Are we 40?
Oh, I'm looking up.
No, if it's standard 40? Practice, Bob probably ranked all the movies he saw, right?
Yeah, I did, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm only going with five.
Go through all 100.
No, five. Coda, The Last Duel, Spider-Man No Way Home, you had to have one of them in there. Titan. It squeaked out of the top 10, but it was almost, and The Harder They Fall. But number 10 was Drive My Car. I don't usually like reading a movie, and I don't usually like 3-hour movies, but the way the story was told, like I liked the rehearsals, and I liked the story of that girl that was in the high school that kept on going to this guy's house and leaving something of hers. And then it just was interesting to me.
Glad it made somebody's.
Yeah. Okay.
Number nine
on my list is a film that me and Daniel discussed in the summer, and I want to know if he had heard about it. So he may not remember us having a full-on text about Shiva Baby.
Yeah.
It blew me away, this film. I love seeing new filmmakers come on the screen I hadn't seen and show me something I'd never seen. And a woman going to a Shiva after leaving her lover and meeting her lover, the Shiva, the tension level's awesome. Her parent, again, the acting is what does it for me in this one. I like the way they bounce it off. The tension keeps rising. Things come up. She keeps having to brush them off because she doesn't want to tell her parents. She's sleeping with people to make money. Just a wonderful film. Absolutely great tension. Even though I've ruined the beginning of the film for you, watch it. Absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Only 80 minutes.
Pardon?
Oh, sorry. I just said only 80 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a quick one. I'm just saying it. But that 80 minutes, it is intense stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not like a happy comedy. It is intense. Really good film. Really quite loved it. Can't wait for more from this director.
Yay. You'll be hearing about that one later from me, too. Oh, it's me. My bad. my number nine is The Killing of Kenneth Chamberlain. It's a powerful indie. Yeah, it's very good. It's a powerful indie about a man named Kenneth Chamberlain Sr. who had bipolar disorder, found himself in a standoff between cops. He's in his apartment, refusing to let the cops in, and the cops are in the hallway trying to get in. Very, very kind of similar to Shiva Baby in the way that it's very claustrophobic. is very intense, pays a lot of respects to the actual man, but it's also just a really taut thriller.
Is it wrong? I just keep singing in my head. You can keep on knocking, but you can't come in.
Insensitive in this part, but I enjoy the reference.
That's just going through my head.
I have dark humor, so I appreciate it. But yeah, no, it's you guys. I would recommend it to you guys. I think it's a really good film.
Awesome. All right, my number 9 is the movie I saw the most in 2021. I watched it 5 times last year, and once already again this year.
Before you repeat it, the films on the Pornhub don't count on this podcast.
Oh, I don't watch all of those.
Oh,
you could. There's so many.
My movie is The Suicide Squad. I just had a blast with this movie. It was funny. It had ultra violence. And that's all I wanted out of it. I had a great time with it.
I think Simon takes issue as we just saw John Carpenter.
Probably, but that's fine.
That's fine. That's your Paddington 2 this year.
You want to go back to the Paddington? You told me to be nice about Paddington.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a great film.
I'm going to start beating that horse again.
All right.
Okay.
Well, is that why you're watching Pornhub?
Yeah, pretty much. Good for that bear porn.
Jeez.
Oh, what the fuck?
My number 9 is No Time to Die, the last of the Daniel Craig James Bond movies. A bit long, and there's some points about it I'm not sure I enjoyed. Like, I didn't think the main villain was very villainous or had much screen time. But there's still a lot to like there. I think Daniel Craig really delivers a great performance. There's some nice little vignettes when he goes to Cuba and takes on Spectre again. Some things seemed a little over the top, but I still enjoyed it as a James Bond film and as a film. So some fine performances in there. And so it's my number 9.
Fair. Yep. I would be shocked if it wasn't on your list.
Mm-hmm.
So my number 9 is a documentary by Edgar Wright called The Sparks Brothers. It was just this weird and perfect encapsulation of this band that I never heard of. It was just, my dad and I listened to some of their songs on the way to the theater. And I remember... To the theater.
To see this?
Yeah. Oh.
Thanks.
And I remember looking at him going, how would Edgar Wright make a documentary? We walked in, then I saw the film, walked out. I was like, oh, that's how. The way you do it is you get a subject like Sparks. And I mean, I'm a little bit biased since Edgar Wright is my personal favorite director. And I think seeing him do something that's different to what he's done before, but also stick within his style was really inspiring and just a lot of fun.
Nice. Haven't seen that one yet.
Neither have I.
Why is there a heart on your screen?
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm just playing with something.
Simon loves Sparks, apparently.
He does.
Yeah.
Every time he agrees, there's just going to be a heart.
And that,
it's kind of weird.
That's actually why I thought Daniel picked the movie Roller Coaster, because Sparks was the band that was playing in the movie.
I was just trying to think of like what movie did we watch that had the Sparks Brothers in it?
Roller Coaster. Thank you.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Couldn't remember.
Okay. My number 9 is Charlotte, which I saw at TIFF. I don't think Simon's seen it yet. It's based on a true... What?
Is it out yet?
I don't know. It was at TIFF. I saw it in 2021. It was animated, but based on a true story about this woman painter in Europe, like Germany, and it was animated, starring the voices of Keira Knightley, and I just thought it was well done, and the animation style was different, and the story was interesting.
Nice.
It's a 2021 film. It must be out there. I never saw it. I would have seen it if somebody mentioned it to me.
Yeah, I think it's 2021 because it was at TIFF, so I don't know.
I don't think it has a release yet.
Okay. Well,
surprisingly, this is going to surprise everybody in the West. My number 8 film is Driving My Car. Nice. I really like this film. I enjoyed it. I love intense films. I think Owen's kind of figured that out after my picks. And Drive My Car has this intensity. Like, it's there the whole time. I just like it. It was just a little bit trimming, and then would have moved up a lot higher. I quite like this film. I think it has everything I'm looking for. Intensity, interesting characters, an interesting storyline. I had a great time watching Drive My Car. Just a little long, but still made my list because I liked it.
What's number 10 for me because of the length.
So,
success. There you go.
Drive My Car.
Two top 10s for Drive My Car. Success. My number 8 is The Suicide Squad. You can take a lap, Simon, if you would like to. I think it's fun. I think the James Gunn's tweets were the best thing that happened to the DCEU for him to be able to do The Suicide Squad and be able to do Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I thought it was fun how he dealt with the characters, killing off the B team at the very beginning. I liked the structure. I liked the end of the film, just kind of facing off against the big, what was it, an octopus or something?
Starfish.
Yeah, thank you. Something from the sea. I thought it just had a lot of...
An alien life form.
Yes, exactly. I thought it had a lot of laughs. I loved the polka dot man. I loved the rat catcher, too, and the heart that she brought to the film, and just how it's like, okay, we're different, and just the rats perfectly symbolized it. So I thought it was fun. I only saw it, I think, only the once, so not 6 times like you, Doug, but I still very much enjoyed it.
I had to get one more in to get ready for Peacemaker on HBO. So
yeah, I've heard that the opening for that is very good.
Hold on. I know we're getting sidetracked right now. I've watched all 3 episodes of Peacemaker. That is the best opening I've seen in years.
Yeah, yes. I haven't watched it yet, but I've just heard really good things.
I love Peacemaker. Like, I watched 3 episodes pretty much back to back to back to 1:30 in the morning.
That's rare.
I was pissed off I had to go to bed because I couldn't finish it. I love Peacemaker. Absolutely the best thing James Gunn's ever done.
Anyone listening, that is a ringing endorsement for Peacemaker. If he watches 3 things back to back to back.
Well, he did watch a 3-hour Drive My Car, so
that took
it's
me
the
2 days. Peacemaker is freaking awesome.
All right. My number 8 has been mentioned already. It is Nobody, starring Bob Odenkirk. Like Owen said, it was the first time we had been to a theater in over a year. I've been a fan of Bob Odenkirk since Mr. Show, the Ben Stiller Show. So seeing him go from comedy writer to comedy actor to drama actor in Better Call Saul to action star in Nobody, it was amazing, and just had an absolute blast with Nobody.
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 Well, my number 8 has also been mentioned before. It's The Green Knight with Dev Patel. A movie I actually just watched prior to this recording, and I loved it. I loved the look of it, the feel of it. It had a very acid-like quality as he went through this journey across the sick night journey across the United Kingdom to get to the Emerald or the Green Grove. And I'm not entirely sure what happened in some of the sequences, but I had read the play back in the poem back in university, and I still don't quite understand it. And nevertheless, I thought it was a fantastic adaptation and an interesting look into the rules of honor and chivalry and again, some fantastic visuals and haunting music. So.
All right. So my number 8 is going to make Simon very mad because it is also The Suicide Squad.
Others in Arms.
Yeah. I just had so much fun with it. It was just a blast all the way through. I got attached to some of the characters, and the bits with Polka Dots Man with his mom showing up as different characters was so goddamn weird, and I loved it.
Yeah. Listen, kid, your Margot Robbie fetish is not allowed on this show.
Sure,
She wasn't even my favorite part of the movie.
Okay. No, it was John Cena in the Tidy Whities.
Oh yeah, yeah. Of course. No, my favorite part of the movie was King Shark. And his bird.
Sylvester Stallone. Mine's John Cena in the underwear in the meeting. Hey, I'm here in the briefs.
I totally forgot about the polka dot and the mum thing, so I feel like I'm going to move mine up to number 7.
Well, Daniel forgets about that.
Just to mention it again.
That's exactly right.
Daniel has an imaginary friend named Simon who doesn't answer the phone but talks to them mentally.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Intern?
Okay, my number 8 is not Suicide Squad. It's old. I just found the direction and the storyline like really good. Like, I know it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, but Simon will say, "Eh."
I
like the story and how they like got. They were trying to find a cure for whatever like diseases, but and the characters get old like really fast. And I just thought it was an interesting concept. Maybe it's been done before, but not this
I don't way. Think it has. I don't think I've no. seen this type of movie film before. No, I'd say no.
There was one movie that it sort of reminds me of the Slender Man, maybe?
I haven't seen that.
I think it was, but not to this scale.
Okay.
But I just enjoyed it.
Great.
Your list.
My number 7, I think Doug will love if he ever sees it. I don't think he has like, that.
No.
Red Rocket.
Ooh, okay.
I absolutely love the acting. Simon, I can't remember the lead actor. It's amazing.
Oh.
Pardon?
Simon Baker directed it, right?
Simon Baker directed it. I love Simon Baker. Even though I've never seen, Doug's going to laugh at me. I still have not watched Tangerine. It's been on my list forever.
Simon Rex is the actor, by the way.
Every Simon Baker film he brings out makes my top 10 list, of course. Red Rock. Again, it's people I don't normally see in films. It's just a guy who's a washed-up porn actor comes back to his hometown, and shit goes down is the best way I can describe it, and it's just funny to me. It's got some funny jokes I haven't seen. He does crazy things. I like him running around on his stupid bike all the time. I love the end of the film. I love, again, it's just Sean Baker brings people I've never seen to life for me. And he does that with Florida Project. I'm sure he does it with Tangerine too, which I haven't seen yet, but I will get to it. So yeah, Red Rocket, strong recommend.
Florida Project was your number 1 of 2017.
It was number 1. I friggin' love Florida Project. So you knew a Baker film was going to make my list.
Yeah.
And exactly. If I'd seen Tangerine, I'm sure it would have made my list too.
Probably. Yeah, Simon Rex is the name of the actor.
That's right. I was right.
Yeah, if no one heard me. Sorry. My number 7 is actually King Richard, the film about Venus Williams and Serena Williams and both of her parents, to call back to that episode.
Got cut today off my list.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
It was on there.
Yeah, I just Will Smith as the dad about a film about Venus and Serena's dad. He reminds us that he can really act. Loved seeing how kind of stubborn he was, even though that was probably the most frustrating part about the movie. Would have loved to have seen a bit more Serena, but I loved Venus's story and just learning what he did with them, just believing in them so fiercely. And just a great tennis film. And I don't usually love a lot of Bob has been replaced by
Kitty Cat.
Bob, are you Professor McGonagall? Oh,
okay. Hey, Professor McGonagall, how are you?
But yes, yeah, no, I don't usually love biographies, so when I find one that I really enjoy, I fight for it, kind of. So that's why King Richard is on my list.
And it's tennis, your favorite sport.
Yes, and I did do, I Googled tennis films. Really, the only ones are Battle of the Sexes, Borg versus McEnroe, Wimbledon, and then this one.
You know what's funny? I've seen them all.
Oh, yeah?
See them all.
So you've pretty much seen every tennis film that is like about sport.
My number 7 is this year's Guillermo del Toro movie, Nightmare Alley. I was a little disappointed that I had seen the original first because it did. I missed the twists that I would have had I seen Guillermo del Toro's first. But it was still amazing. It was gorgeous to look at. It looked like a Guillermo del Toro movie. The performances were from top to bottom amazing. Even just the little day players in there, everybody was great. I particularly loved, aside from Bradley Cooper, Cate Blanchett, I thought was amazing in this movie. Highly recommend it. It's a very dark, dark noir, no supernatural in it. So it's not scary in that way, but it is a very dark noir film.
Great pick, Doug. Just missed my list. I 100% agree with everything you said.
I'm sure it would be on my top 10 if I would have seen it. Full
nudity from, what's his face?
Cooper?
Male lead.
Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper's nudity in the tub.
Yeah.
Bob would have fast forwarded through that.
I can't watch that.
Well, in my top two films, there's more male nudity to come. Oh, so.
Excellent. I can't wait.
I want to see it at some point, but it's one of those films that I haven't been able to see. It's still in the theaters.
Well, so. We had a little problems with something called Simon Cron that just sort of took out everybody.
Yes. That's true. Otherwise, I would be seeing the new Scream film this weekend, which I'm still kind of peeved about.
Well, my number seven choice is Ridley Scott's The Last Duel with Adam Driver and Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Jodie Comer. Beautiful looking film. Very, like, the cinematography is amazing. The acting is, you know, most of it's okay. I would say Matt Damon is the weak link in this film.
Yeah, Great Wall all over again.
And Ben Affleck seems to be just playing himself.
He likes to do that.
As a party-going aristocrat. No, I just I like the three-act structure. I like the he said, she said nature of the whole thing, where, you know, we have this very serious accusation of rape and assault, and between two men who have a very long-standing friendship and grudges between them. And so the question is, where does the truth lie? And we get that, I think, more with her third act storytelling, where she... Sorry, cat's yelling at me.
Oh, I thought that was a baby.
Oh, I thought that was a lion.
The cat likes to yell at me when I'm on podcasts and Zoom calls. No, I just I can't argue with the artistry of The Last Duel and the amount of work that went into it, and the choreography of the fight sequence of the joust, and then the sword battle and the brutality of it. So and that's why it's on my top 10.
Nice.
So my number seven is Spider-Man No Way Home. Purely because it finally felt like an MCU Spider-Man. I was not a fan of the first two Spider-Man movies in the MCU. It just didn't feel like who Peter Parker should be, in my opinion. And I think the ending of this movie finally made him feel more like who I'm used to from the comic books. And so also it was just fun. I didn't cry at all the emotional moments that people have been saying they've been, you know, bawling about, but like I did laugh at it plenty of times. Oh,
I did.
You did. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't, but I did find myself laughing a lot more than I expected to.
Fair enough.
I saved my laughter for the Eternals.
Okay, my number seven, and I know Simon's going to disagree wholeheartedly with it, is Kate, and I've already brought it up why I liked it so much in a previous podcast. I just like the character, the storyline, and I know, like, Simon will say, like, no, but I really enjoyed it, so.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
10.
9.
There you go.
5.
I think that makes sense, then. Yeah, checks out.
Go skinny. Okay, off to number six. We're getting close, guys. We're getting closer all the time. Any film that can call a pig, a dog, a toaster, a loaf of bread all in one shot makes me happy. Mitchell versus the Machines came along and blew me away. I expected nothing from this film. I expected it to be one of those films I just watch with my kids and move on. Friggin' love this movie. I reference it in my head all the time. That's it. I see squirrels when I'm delivering the mail, and I'm like, pig, dog, loaf of bread. just sits with me. It makes me laugh all the time, that scene. If we had scene of the year, it'd be number two on my list. That scene is just fabulous. So if you haven't seen Mitchell and Machines, what the hell have you been doing? Stop watching crap and go watch Mitchell vs. Machine. It's great storyline. It's good family entertainment, surprisingly, coming from me. It's not even intense. It's just fun, fun, fun. So Mitchell vs. Machines is number six.
Exactly. So, so your number one scene would be Bradley Cooper's hog in Nightmare Alley?
Yeah, that's actually my number one scene of the year.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with the hog, man. You can pull a hog and do it, I'm in. I give them full credit. Enough boobs. He's some hogs.
But what about Benedict Cumberbatch's hog in The Power of the Dog?
Yeah, he doesn't do it for me.
That was dirty. That was dirty. He had
that
mud.
Was dirty, dirty.
Bradley was in a bathtub.
As I my hog, favorite Kevin. Line from Mad Men, I'm in the dirty, dirty city. Best line of Mad Men ever.
Kieran Shipka. Now, actually, we did that back in May, right? Mitchell's versus the Machines.
Whenever it came out.
My number six is the Mitchell's versus the Machines, actually. And I mentioned that Encanto and Mitchell's versus the Machines were going to be a tie at number 10. But I watched that scene just watched the ending scene where the robots are like, the Lavender One has found us. We must retreat. When the mom just goes crazy. And I was like, okay, I remember why I love the film so much. It's just so funny. There's the pug. I have remembered it having some of the best laughs of the year. And I just love the story, love the structure and the relationship with the daughter and the father. So just lots of laughs, lots of heart. Nice. And that always pretty much always wins me over.
I actually almost had Mitchell's versus the Machine as my number six, but I didn't. Instead, I am going with The Velvet Underground. In a year full of incredible music documentaries, we got Sparks Brothers, we got The Summer of Soul, which if you haven't seen, I highly recommend. We got The Beatles Get Back. It was Velvet Underground that really stuck with me. Todd Haynes told the story through montage in this documentary. And this was a band I had heard of, but I didn't really know any of their songs. Ever since then, the song Heroin, it's just been on repeat. That is a brilliant song, in my opinion. And the documentary just perfectly told the story of New York in the 60s. And the band itself, I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful film.
Nice.
I agree. I loved it. my number six is Dune, part one. another beautifully made film, well shot. Still feels incomplete to me since it's only half the first novel. But it's still very well done. And you know, I struggled with this one a bit because I did like the Lynch film, the version from 84, even though it's got some corny aspects and some weirdness to it. But the amount of thought and in every scene, in every costume and every detail in the background, everything, you know, I had to recognize that, and I'd put it in my top 10.
Right. So my number six has been mentioned a few times, I think, is The Green Knight. I love the original poem. I read it for my English class, I think, junior year of high school. And I've fell in love with the King Arthur and the lore since then. And then seeing this movie presented this way was just amazing. I think this is how all fantasy movies should be told now, because it was the perfect way of doing it. It wasn't like this overproduced, sort of like, you know, blockbuster. It was more intimate, but still incredibly stylistic, and I really loved it.
You prefer your movies being very slow talking?
I never had a problem with that. I never had a problem with slower things.
You've made two movies, correctly, Mr. Two? They're not slow talking, so
it's Christmas films.
Yeah. Well, I've made more than just Christmas films. I'm not just a Christmas filmmaker. feel like I should point that out. I don't just
have your shtick.
Yeah.
Where would I find those films? I don't see referenced anywhere.
Because I don't upload all of them. Because
so basically they're not, you know, really good to see that. So if they're not up there.
Well, I mean, some of them got me into film school, so you know, they can't be terrible.
Oh, that's true.
That is true.
Owning your craft.
We'll see.
He's already got the acceptance letter.
I'll congratulate him for getting in, but need to see some more work, you know, just a small little portion so far.
Oh, well.
There will be more.
I hope eventually. So.
There will be blood.
I'll say that. My number six will make Doug very happy. Nightmare Alley. Probably for the same reasons that he liked it. Film noir, like the different camera angles and bright, what was it, darkness? Dark? Yeah. Film noir. It was directed well, and I thought the story was really good. And at the end, I wasn't expecting that, but maybe I should have been. However, I thought I was really good. It was really well done.
I'd just like to say, you fast forward a sex scene with De Niro and Uma Thurman, but you watch Nightmare Alley with a hog.
I watched the whole thing.
I got it now. That's all I have to say. My number five is going to be a surprise for Doug, so Doug might want to make sure he's still awake for this.
Are we doing number five Squad? On the second episode, or are we splitting this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
So that's a teaser.
What?
It's a teaser, yes.
It's a teaser for the next episode.
You tease.
Gavin, you have to introduce the next number.
What's that? Well, let's pause it. Why don't we end it?
Okay.
All right. So that's it for this episode. We're going to continue the list into the next episode. So you hope you'll highly anticipate the conclusion of our lists. We got some pretty amazing films coming up in discussion. Except for Simon's. I'm just kidding. And we'll see what's up. So I'm Gavin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Daniel.
I'm Doug.